OCTalkRadio.net.
It's time for the one show that takes you where others won't, into the world of coaching with business coach extraordinaire, Doug Gefeller. Hey, Doug.
Paul, thank you very much, and welcome, audience, to today's episode of The Coaching Perspective. Special treat for you today. We're going to be talking with our own producer and owner here at OC Talk Radio, Paul Roberts, and we're going to talk about the use of internet radio and how he came to start this business. But if you're listening to our podcast, then hey, thank you for visiting the website, thecoachingperspective.com. While you're there, be sure to check out our archives for some of our past shows with some great guests. And speaking of guests, if you'd like to be on the show, we're always looking for coaches, CEOs, and HR professionals to interview. So just send me an email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com, and we'll set up a time to talk and see where we can go from there. Couple of quick announcements. Next week, we have a great guest on our show, Rick Ickowitz. I'm sure I didn't get that right.
It doesn't sound like it's right.
Ickowitz. Wish. Hey, I'll tell you, I-T-Z-K-O-W-I-C-H.
Well, that's not easy. That's obvious.
Anyhow, the easier handle is he's called the LinkedIn guy.
Ah, okay.
So I'll leave it to you to guess what we're going to talk about next week.
I am so interested in LinkedIn. I hear so many people saying it's the easiest, most powerful way to reach people through social media. Better than Twitter, Facebook. All those have fans. But for business people, I hear them say, you know, the one I really like is LinkedIn.
Well, this is going to be really interesting because Rick has been talking, speaking, and preaching on LinkedIn for quite some time. Got a lot of information on his website. He's in demand as a speaker to talk about it. But the really interesting thing is he recently started another new business, and he's using LinkedIn to kick off his new business. So he's gone from the theoretical to the practical application.
Okay, and, cool.
We're going to get some great information from him. Last announcement, September 12th. That seems like a long ways away, but it really isn't.
No.
That's going to be the next meeting for the Orange County chapter of the International Coach Federation. Going to feature a panel of coaches talking about unique ways to build your business, which is kind of how we came to today's topic and why we've got Paul here on the show. Is I was asked to speak on the panel about the use of internet radio, and I thought, well, that's great, but before I go say something stupid, let's ask Paul the same questions they're probably going to ask me, and then I can go well prepared.
I see. You're just going to cut and paste. You're going to take what I tell you and turn it into your wisdom here, huh?
You know, if I could really cut and paste, I'd have you come sit in on the panel, Paul. That would
no
be
problem.
The best thing.
So, no problem.
All right. Let's kick this off. So how did you become the radio show guy?
Well, I had done what some people might say is real radio, what is now referred to as terrestrial radio, a million years ago. I did that in college. I ran the college radio station at University of Michigan, which was a big station. We had a big following. It was a big deal. And then I went from that into a paid job at WMYK, K94. I have to get my voice down here. My voice got too high through the years. WMYK, K94. In Norfolk, Virginia. I had to learn to say Norfolk and not laugh because it sounded like something else to me when I said it. But anyway, when I did that for a while and then got out of it and moved to California to find my fame and fortune, and instead ended up getting into public relations. And through the years, the last couple of years, I had more and more people, businesses say, why are we doing this social media stuff? Why are we doing LinkedIn, Facebook, all this stuff? I just don't get anything out of it. I know everybody does it, and I got to do it, but it just seems like a waste of time. So I spent a lot of time and effort thinking about what is social media all about? What's the purpose? Why are we doing all this? And I came to this conclusion. Here's my bit of wisdom. Here's my takeaway.
I got my pen and pencil ready.
Okay. I think social media is there for one purpose only, and that is to start a conversation. You don't tweet and people buy. You don't put your picture on Facebook and the phones ring off the hook. But what you do is start a conversation. You put out some information. Here's what I'm doing. Here's what I know. Here's who I know. And hopefully that provokes a reaction. Somebody responds and says, tell me more. And so if that's true, if it really is just a way to get things rolling, to start a conversation, it's while they're sniffing around, thinking about maybe I could use a business coach, or maybe I don't know enough about it, I want to learn more. If it is a conversation, what could be simpler than actually talking to somebody, streaming it live, recording it, and sharing it? So you've got the elements of radio there, because it's live and it's regular at a regular time, with a bunch of other shows all around it, similar kind of business shows. And it's also got the element of podcasting in it, which is it gets to live on in the internet. You can put meta tags on it. It becomes searchable. So I thought, wow, that's kind of an interesting thought. If social media is to start a conversation, why don't we just do what I used to do a million years ago and just have a radio conversation? And so I thought, well, this is too obvious. Somebody must have thought of this. And I looked around, and there really wasn't much like this. There were a couple of big stations out there. I'll give some plugs for some of my competitors here. WS Radio in San Diego is a big one. They've got a couple hundred people, or 100 or so. Voice America out of Phoenix, they're another big one. But other than that, there aren't many. And what I didn't like about those two models is, one, they were totally freeform. You might go from the Let's Go Quilting show to the Dr. Ruth sex show to some pet psychic to some comedy show. It was all over the place. And they were very expensive. I didn't think either one of those would work for me. So I tried to come up with something that was more localized, more focused on Orange County, this community, and see if I couldn't get community conversations going. And I tried to restrict it just to businesses and community groups. I don't want the guy who saw Elvis last night. I don't want somebody who thinks they're funny or wants to be a pet psychic or something. I'm trying to stick to serious conversations that I don't see taking place anywhere else. And that was the birth of OC Talk Radio. So it's radio in that it's live, but it's over the internet, so it's also podcasting. It's kind of elements of both.
I'll just share a story that frankly haunts me all the time, Paul.
Okay.
And this is when Paul first approached me and talked about using internet radio. And we listened to some of the other stations that are out there. Mm-hmm. And what he said is what Paul said to me is, he said, you know, Doug, he said, this is just a bunch of people who are pontificating yeah. on the air about whatever they feel strongly about, with no feedback and no purpose whatsoever at all, just to hear themselves talk and satisfy their ego.
It's the Paul Roberts Show, starring Paul Roberts. Hey, Paul, how you doing today? Great, Paul.
And every time I don't have a guest on the show, Paul, that comes back to haunt me.
That comes back to haunt you.
Am I really sharing valid information, or is this Doug Gefeller pontificating
with
no real purpose?
And I think you hit on something there, because I think that what I looked at in podcasting's exploded. There's millions of podcasts now, and more opportunity than ever to hear them, not through just through Podbean and Stitcher and all these other aggregators. iTunes is the biggest one that pulls them together, and you can subscribe to them and download them. But the other thing is that I'll back up and say one other thing I see happening is people are now turning off terrestrial, traditional radio in their cars. Ooh, that's a scary thought. And they're instead plugging in their smartphone, or some of them have satellite, or some of them have internet streaming straight into the car. But whatever it is, I meet more and more people saying, you know what? I listen to podcasts when I'm driving down to San Diego, when I'm driving to work. That's always been the case when people work out or walk or do other things. They used to listen to music, and now more and more they're listening to information. But I hear more and more people saying, I'm so tired of the standard music channels where they play the same six songs over and over and over again. And instead, I'm using that time to listen to podcasts. Now, what I didn't like about most podcasts is what you said. It's just one person talking for 30, 40, 50 minutes, maybe longer. I think that gets old. I think it's hard to build an audience. You got a lot of interesting things to say, but I think if you don't periodically have some guests, if you don't periodically have some feedback, I think it runs the risk of you just talking. And I think it becomes less interesting to people. And the power, I'll give the secret away to everybody. People say, well, how do you get an audience for your shows? How do people find you? How do you get an audience? Well, part of it is, you know, we take all these podcasts basically and bunch them together. So now you've got a show before you and after you, and we're trying to create a content platform where we can play all these things and hopefully develop a community conversation. People know to go to our website. There'll be lots of these kind of shows. And if you like one, you might like the other. But the other thing is that the guest is so powerful in building your audience. The guest brings people to the show. I'll say that again. The guest brings an audience with them. So suddenly, not only are you meeting somebody that you wanted to meet, and are you learning from them, but you then get the benefit of their Rolodex. They probably tell everybody they know to tune in either live or later and listen. So you've now done viral marketing at its best. You've not only met somebody you wanted to meet and couldn't meet otherwise. Hey, I want to take you to lunch. Forget it. Come to my seminar. Forget it. You want to be in my radio show? Ooh, cool. I'll do that. What's the catch?
Let me just...
I know. I'm off and running here.
Let me just jump on that for a minute, Paul, because... The story that comes to my mind, true example, is the radio show guest that we had on the air, who is a restaurateur here in Orange County,
mm-hmm.
has a number of restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of approached him. We were going to have him on the air. We were going to interview him. And going through my mind is, you know, what does he really have to talk about? Well, he turned out to be a fascinating guy, great guest.
Mm-hmm.
Has a lot to talk about starting a business. I mean, if you're in the restaurant business, you don't just start one. You end up starting a number of them over and over
again. Sure, that's everybody's goal.
Them.
Right.
But as we talked to him before his first broadcast, and we said just exactly what the point you just made, and we said, and we'd like to have you let your Rolodex,
your audience.
That's your contact management software.
Right. I'm dating myself here. Your Rolodex, right.
We'd like to have you let the people in your community know that you're going to be on the show. And he said, okay, yeah, great. I'll do that. And we said, so, you know, how many people do you think that is? You have a couple hundred or what?
Yeah.
He said, no. He said, I have 9,000 people that I email to on a regular basis.
Right.
He'd been in the restaurant business for a long time. Every time you come in, you throw your card in the sniffer jar, the brandy sniffer jar to get a free lunch or dinner. And that gets you on his email. He uses a newsletter to let you know what his mm-hmm. restaurant specials are.
Right.
And I mean, that was one of our largest audience shows we've ever had because of his 9,000 guests.
So think about this. You're a business owner. You wanted to talk to somebody, and you probably had one of three different motivations to reach that person. One is you just like to connect with them and learn from them. This guy's been very successful. You're a business coach. Maybe you can learn something that you'll pass on to your clients, and they can then learn from it. Two, hey, it doesn't look bad for all of us in terms of our branding to be associated with very successful people. Look at what I know. Look at who I know. Wow. Okay. So that's nice. Look who I'm talking with. Look who's playing in my sandbox, as they say. And then the third is maybe there's something that you can offer him. So you've met a new, maybe not a prospect, maybe is a prospect. Maybe he's somebody that can turn you on to somebody else that needs your services. But you've somehow built a network. You know, I find it curious. In traditional broadcasting, they always talk about networks. ABC Network, Fox Network. The internet is the largest network in the world, and it allows you to not just build a network, but a verb. You can network. You can meet people and exchange information and ideas and contacts and meet them and all that stuff. So again, if everybody talks about networking and you go to events, you pass out all your business cards, how powerful is that? Not very. But if you meet people, have them on your show, really have a good dialogue and conversation, and they like it, you've probably built a relationship there, one that you can call upon later for other things, particularly if you give them a copy of it, because it becomes a podcast, and they put it on their website. And now you've given them something that they can use to help market their services and talk about what they do and who they are.
Yeah, and this thing about connection. Some people have the misconception that, okay, we're on the air. Who's listening? What kind of connection is there?
Right.
Paul's going to talk to us about a little bit about all the different ways you can use it. But I don't know how many of our audience realize that last week I wasn't able to do the show live. Paul played one of our previous shows for
right.
me.
Right.
And the reason was that a past client that I had for about 6 months, 4 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and had lost contact with him, hadn't talked to him since then. Shame on you, Doug.
Yeah, right.
Called me up and said, I need your services. And I've got this problem. Can you come help me? And when I went to meet with him, he said, you know, the reason I called you is because I get your radio show newsletter every week talking about who's on the radio show. And it always reminds me of you and it reminds me of your coaching.
Wow.
And so when I started to have this problem, your name was right there on the tip of my tongue.
You recreated that connection, or you kept that connection alive. Because,
yeah.
And that's, I'm going to delve a little deeper into this. What's the problem with all this social media that we're generating? The problem is that if it is a conversation, which I believe it is, it's a conversation that takes place prior to them making a decision. It's before the traditional sales process. They're just kind of thinking or sniffing around or want to learn more. In that conversation, you have to give them something interesting. If you just say, going to the store, came back from the store on Twitter, nobody's going to converse with you through Twitter. If you just say, here's a picture of my grandchild or whatever on Facebook, okay, you know, that loses its appeal quickly. If your blog is just reposted mishmash from something else, people aren't going to read it very long. So if it is a conversation, you got to do two things. You got to have something interesting to say, and you got to say it regularly. And that's how you build an audience. That's how you build a community. That's how you build a network. It's not by accident that I call this a community radio station. It's not just because it's focused on this community, but I think it's a real way to build individual communities around the shows. Each show becomes a campfire where people can come and congregate each week, talk about something very specific and interesting to them, and exchange ideas and stories.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I have to add this, and we may be beating it to death, but it really deserves attention. This idea of conversation, internet radio is not going to sell anything.
No.
It isn't going to sell services. It isn't going to sell products.
No.
If it does, fine, that's great. I mean, sometimes you could go to the corner store and sell your services just because of who you sit next to.
Right.
But the purpose of it that I feel and that I think you're talking about here, Paul, the purpose is to meet people. The purpose is to have people know me. The purpose is to demonstrate who you know, what you know, and what you do. It's
right.
to keep in front of them on an ongoing basis without being obnoxious about it.
And that's certainly what you can do once you have the content created. You're passing this on to your community, which includes people you once did business with, you currently do business with, or you'd like to do business with in the future, or other people that you might just like to be associated with, just because you think they'd fit into your community, and other vendors that you've used that you might recommend, or vendors that might recommend you. You start to build that. That's the thing that everybody's been looking for. The holy grail in the internet world is building a community, because that means that you've got people that you're not only connected with, but you're conversing with. You're exchanging ideas, information, and stories. I still say this is a storytelling medium. So you get to tell your story, they get to tell their story, and out of that process, then you share it with your people, they share it with their people, we share it through the audience we're trying to build here, hopefully building. And all of that then somehow becomes a community, a community conversation. I don't know other way to think about it.
Yeah, well, I think you described it perfectly. I want to go back for a minute here, and I think there's always some confusion. Internet radio, webinars, podcasts.
Yep.
Come on, give us a definition. What is the difference, and does it make any difference?
I don't know that it does make any difference. They're all three versions of kind of the same thing. which is connecting people over the internet. We have this platform now through things like Skype or GoToMeeting or WebEx, where you can see each other, you can converse with each other. In the old traditional webinars, maybe you just had to type your question in and the moderator answered them. More and more, they're starting to include phone lines in there so you can actually hear each other talk. And in some of the more sophisticated ones, they actually have video platforms in them too. Skype has revolutionized everything. I more and more see things on traditional TV channels, news channels. I was watching CNN when the Japanese earthquake happened and the nuclear power plant melted down. They couldn't get there fast enough with their cameras, so they were having people on the ground talk through their computers, talk through their smartphones using Skype. And so here's CNN anchor talking to somebody in Japan instantly through Skype. That's a revolutionary medium. So we've kind of taken all of that and kind of put it together and said, okay, we add one other element to it. We stream it live, and then we record it, and we put it on a server, and then it becomes a podcast. If you want a quick definition, a podcast is any recorded audio file that you download later. It's generally information, not music.
So let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
How effective would this show, live internet radio, mm-hmm. this conversation between you and I, how effective would it be if we didn't record it and make a podcast out of it?
Oh, I think that's the key. I think you could go without the live part of it before you could give up the podcast part of it. And I'll tell you why. It is still hard. As much as we focus on live radio, it is hard to get people to stop and listen at a prescribed time anymore. People would much rather listen at their leisure. And that was the power of podcasting. It's 24/7. You listen to it anywhere. Netflix just came out with a new series called Orange is the New Black, about a woman who goes to prison and she's like a fish out of water. She chronicles her story. And they did something revolutionary. It's not broadcast live anywhere. They taped all the different episodes and they put them all on Netflix all at once. And you can listen to all 13 in a row or 1 and 6. And you can jump around. You can listen to it. A TV series all at once. So they just skipped the broadcasting it live part of it and made it all just recorded versions. And it's been very powerful. The power of the live part of it is this. From my perspective, it does three things. It forces the host to create content on a regular basis. If you came to me and said, Paul, I just want to create a podcast once in a while, I'd say, sure, we want to rent your studio, come over and use it. Great. And then you'd do one, and then you might do two, and then you might wait a couple months and do another. It's not going to work. There's no continuity to it. There's no chance to build an audience or a following. It's too random. So it forces the host to create content on a regular basis. I think it also has a different feel to it when it's live than when it's recorded. We do have a couple shows that get very scared about doing it live, and so they always want to record them and clean them up. I don't think it has the same spontaneity. I think people can tell. Like when I replayed your show, we had people call. I had actually somebody tweet in that day, I think, and ask a question. I had to say, well, it's actually recorded right now. Here, people couldn't tell that it was recorded. And the other thing, and this is going to sound really crazy, but it's true. When you do it live, the guest moves heaven and earth to get there. When you say it's a podcast and we're going to record it, they cancel all the time. You know what? I'm running late. Can we record it an hour later? Can you get the studio tomorrow? Can we do it next Tuesday? There's no urgency. But when we say, no, we've built an audience, and they're going to be here at 2 o'clock. It's like an airplane flying to Hawaii. We're taking off at 2. You're either on board or you're not. Guests go through red lights and anything they can. I mean, they work hard to get to that show. So I think it does create a different kind of content. But the power of it, and you to finish your question, is the power is the podcast. Because the podcast then gets archived. You attach meta tags to it. It's searchable. And that's where the magic starts to happen. The podcast gets fed to iTunes or Stitcher or other places so people can discover it. It's searchable on the internet. You type in some search term and it comes up like any other thing on the internet. It gets to be chopped up and used in little bits and pieces. You can put pieces of it in your newsletter or your emails and say, here's a little 10-second snippet of what Paul Roberts said. Click here to hear the rest of it. You can give a copy to the guest. You can actually give them a little, as we do. I think we're one of the few that does this. We'll not only give them a copy or a link to it, we'll actually give them a little HTML code for a little player that they can put on their website that plays that one episode. Think of this. If I asked you, how would you like to be on 100 websites? How would you like to have a free ad on 100 websites in the coming year? You'd say, where do I sign up?
Yep.
Instead, I'm giving you the same opportunity here, because when they put that on their website, that show has you and your commercial, your services, you on there as the branded expert on their website for free forever. It's viral marketing. It's most powerful. And they tell everybody they know, go listen to it.
When I say live internet radio, what I'm thinking of is unscripted, high energy, dedicated commitment and focus by the guest and the host.
Very well put. I've never put it that succinctly, but I think it is. It's a different kind of content than just a canned, I've scripted it, you scripted it, and we're just reading things back and forth to each other.
Oh, yeah. You know, I worked with a client of mine, and we had been working on their mission statement.
Right.
And we'd been working on it for a long time. You know how you wordsmith these things to
forever.
Death, pretty soon they're so vanilla, nobody can get excited
about it.
Yes,
right. Right.
So we're out to lunch and we're having a beer, and I've got the two partners of the firm sitting there. And I said, so really, why do you have this business? Well, they proceeded to get all excited and they told me this story of why they had the business and what the business meant to them.
Yeah.
And I said, this is great. This is so exciting. We've got to film this and put it on the website.
Yeah.
The heck with trying to write it. We've got to film this and put it on the website.
Exactly.
Because you guys, I want to do business with you because of what came across. Now, they said, okay, that's great, but we're a little nervous about filming it.
Mm-hmm.
So we now took 3, 4, 5 months working with professionals to script this thing out, get it down, and we have a film, but it doesn't have the same energy.
Doesn't have the passion. They
doesn't
lost the
have
passion.
The same passion. It's better than words without people. But it's not what we had in the restaurant. I mean, I should have pulled out my iPhone and
just
recorded it right then.
Yeah, really. And I think that is what we're doing. We're capturing conversations in the moment. What I love about this is it's an extended conversation. We live in this 60-second world where everything has to be given to us in 140 characters or less, right?
Yeah.
Why can't we have a little more conversation and a little less just sound bites? That's what I'm looking for. And so you just said the other thing there, a commitment. The guest is committed to spend 20, 30, 40 minutes with you, and the host is committed to do that. And the listener is committed. They know ahead of time this is a 30 or 40 minute conversation here. I think that's fantastic. Where else can we get three people, the audience, you know, the three triangles, the audience, the host, and the guest, to come together and agree to talk about anything for 30 minutes?
Well, you know, because you were there recording the show, we had a guest. He was out of town, was in New York, still wanted to do the show, said he was going to get back to his room. He would give us the phone number in the room, and we'd talk to him. And he got stuck in traffic in New York. Surprise, surprise.
Right.
And we did the first half of the show from the back of a cab.
Yeah, right.
remember that?
I remember that.
He was in the cab talking on his cell phone. Not the greatest quality, but hey, it was really interesting.
Yeah.
And eventually the cab got to his hotel. He switched over and had a little better reception.
Right, I think we took a commercial break. He went upstairs and came. We got him on the line.
You got it. So, okay. So we're committed to this. What everybody likes to know when they deal with someone is, how are you making money off of me? So tell our audience, what's the business model for Paul Roberts in owning and operating an internet radio station?
Well, that's the $64,000 question with everything on the internet. How do you monetize it? You know, Pandora has a huge music platform that billions of people listen to, and they're still struggling to do it. Facebook has reportedly 1 billion people or more on their service, and they're still struggling to monetize it. I'm probably in that same realm. We're all trying, I wish I had a billion people, but we're all trying to figure out, how do we fund these conversations? How do we pay for the technology and the people and whatnot to capture them, to stream them, to edit them? We do try and clean. You have that live version, and if people cough or goof or whatever, we do try and clean it up, make the podcast a little cleaner. So if you want the unvarnished one, listen to the live. If you want the polished version, listen to the podcast. Here's how I've tried to monetize it. Here's the model I've tried to use. I do two things. I hope that if we have enough interesting conversations, we'll build an audience. And with that audience, like anything, I hope we'll sell commercials, sponsorships, whatever, people who will support this. And maybe it is the sponsorship model. Maybe it is PBS. Maybe people just sponsor this because they think it's a good thing to do. Or maybe people really do see value in reaching that audience through commercials. That is hard, though, because I have to back up and say we're doing something that's unlike anything you've ever seen or heard before. This is narrowcasting, not broadcasting. We are not, by definition, trying to reach a billion people with the Doug Show. You know, in a traditional business model, you put a billboard up on the freeway so that 30,000 people see it a day in the hope that three will be people who might really want your services. It's the shotgun scatter approach. We're trying to be laser focused. We're trying to cut to those three people. We're trying to distill that audience down to the handful of people you really want to reach. And that's what narrowcasting is. And that's the power of the internet, and that's its problem. Because by definition, we're getting small audiences. You might have 10 people listening live, 50 people listening live, 5 people listening live, whatever. You might get later 500 downloads, 1,000 downloads. Generally, the downloads are much bigger than the live audience because it's easier to listen to and it reaches, there's more ways we can get it out. But whatever it is, it's not, people immediately ask me, well, okay, you want to run an ad? How many people you reach? And I have to immediately say, you asked the wrong question. I can't tell you how many. I can tell you who. I can tell you that Doug reaches a very high-level group of coaches and HR people, because we know, look at the guests he gets. Look at the conversations he's having. By definition, they're telling other people, and he's reaching people in that community. If nothing else, look at all the people he's interviewing. That's the audience. So if you think that's your audience, we can give it to you pretty cheaply, you know, hundreds, not thousands of dollars here. So there is an advertising component, but until we can make that thing take off, and I think at some point there'll be a tilt, we do have to charge a production charge. So for your show or other shows, there is a production charge that has to be covered. It's small. We try and keep it in the hundreds of dollars, $300 to do a bi-weekly show, $500 to do a monthly show, a weekly show every month. And we certainly give the host every opportunity to offset that, sell commercials, run your own commercials, or maybe find your own sponsors. I would love it if every one of our shows was fully funded. In fact, was making money off of the show just through their sponsorship and ad sales. Nothing could be easier for me to sell than to go out to people and say, look, Doug's got $10,000 worth of sponsorship here. He not only covers his cost, he actually makes some money. He covers his time and effort into this, too. I can't say we have a lot of shows that have gotten to that point, but we have some that are covering their costs now and then some. Some shows, it's not important to them. You know, that it's a way to communicate a message. It's a way to reach an audience. We have the Sales Lead Management Association on. For them, it's like a audio newsletter. It's cheaper than producing a newsletter. It's a way that they can reach all their scattered members across the world and across the country. So each week they talk about what's going on in the world of sales lead management systems. So lots of ways to do it. But that's the way I try and monetize it. Hopefully, eventually, we'll have some commercials or sponsors enough to support it. In the meantime, we have to charge people for it. And in turn, we allow them to sell their own time. It's their hour, so they can sell commercials, run commercials, find sponsors, whatever. We don't take any part of it, nor do we insert our own commercials into that hour like some other stations do.
All right. That's your business model as the owner producer of octalkradio.net.
Right.
What is the typical business model of your client? People like myself that have a show. What's their business model?
I have found that there are really two or three types of people that this was created for. The obvious one is the service professional, the accountant, the lawyer, the sales trainer, you know, the business coach, whatever. If you've got a service to sell, this is a powerful way to do three things. Start conversations with people you'd like to meet, people maybe you want to do business with, people maybe you want to connect with in the hope that they'll refer you business, or people that you just want to learn from, you know, thought leaders in the field. Powerful way. This microphone gives you the opportunity to talk to just about anybody you want to talk to. It's amazing how many people you can meet.
Yes, it is.
The second thing, and you said it before, you know, people that you couldn't otherwise reach in any other medium. You try and hold a seminar, you try to have a luncheon, you try to do things. People are too busy. They feed that out. But when you say, hey, how about being on my radio show? Whole different response.
Right.
So it's an easy way to start a conversation. I think it's a powerful way to brand yourself. I'm the guy with the radio show. I must be somehow different than all the other people. I must be somehow an expert in this because I'm talking about it every week. And I think, again, if you have good guests, that helps add to your brand. Look at who I know. Look at the kind of people I'm running with. Wow, I want to be with this accountant. I want to be with this attorney. And then I think the third thing is it's a great way to create content for your website and for all your social media channels. Think about it. You've made a commitment. You're paying money to produce a radio show. Don't let it stop there. Take what you learn and put that into a blog. Take what you've got something to tweet about before and after. Hey, this show's coming up. Hey, sorry you missed it. We learned some great stuff from our guest today here. You've got something to put on Facebook, the pictures of the guest, if you do it live in studio. And again, we can do it either way. We can do it over Skype. You and I are doing it today by Skype, where I can see you and you can see me. We have a studio now here across from South Coast Plaza. People can actually come in, and the added benefit is not only better mics and stuff, but we've got the ability to take pictures. It's like going to Disneyland. Everybody wants their picture taken in the booth, you know, with Mickey. Everybody wants their picture taken with the headphones on. And it sounds silly as that sounds. We've been doing this now for just 2 months with the studio. My Facebook fan page for OC Talk Radio has exploded. I was getting 10 people, 50 people a month looking at it. I think last month I had over 10,000 people look at it. Right. Why? Because I'm putting pictures on it all the time now. That's what Facebook loves. And every day I'm putting pictures of our guests and our hosts, and suddenly, I don't know why people love that, but everybody loves it. And then the host puts it on his site, and the guest puts it on his site. It's crazy. Forget about the show. We're just all coming to take pictures together here. I mean, it's wild. So I think that's it. It gives you a way. You're creating content for all your other social media channels, and you're creating a way for your customers and your clients to see what you're doing, see who you are, to get to know you a little better.
Okay, so you brought up an interesting point. You led right into a point I was going to make. So everything's going visual. Here we are talking on the radio.
Yeah, right.
Are we going to be gone soon? Do we have to go to internet television?
I worried about that in the beginning, and many people said, "Oh, you've missed it. It's got to be YouTube. It's got to be video." There is certainly power in video, but you said it earlier when you talked about your clients. Video is very hard to produce. Video, you got lights, you got cameras, you got makeup. You got people that maybe don't have a face for video or whatever. It's much more complicated to produce than audio. You and I are just talking into microphones here and recording this and streaming it. Very easy to create. Also very easy to stream. Very little bandwidth needed. Much bigger bandwidth to stream out video. Many more people involved. Got to have a crew of camera and different cameras and makeup and lighting and all this stuff. So it becomes much more expensive, much more complicated, and much more difficult. Beyond that, I think there's one other differentiator that's given me hope that there's always going to be radio. There's always going to be audio conversations. Video means you got to stop. It requires your full attention. You can't drive and watch a video. You can't jog and watch a video. But audio allows you to multitask, which is what everybody's trying to do these days. So I can drive and listen to it. I can jog and listen to it. I can be reading a book, or I can be working on the computer and listening to it at work. I don't exactly know why, but maybe it's because of that. it's a longer conversation. People will listen longer than they'll watch. Proven fact that all the YouTube videos can't be more than 3 to 5 minutes. But our audio segments tend to be 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes at a pop. People will listen longer than they'll watch.
Yeah, and I would agree completely. And, you know, I look at even some of the talk shows on television. They're not just sitting there. The ones that are interesting, they've got graphics. They've got film clips. They've got somebody coming in and moving around and doing something. You don't see a talk show where they're just sitting there talking. So the content has to be one that is enhanced by a visual media.
Right.
Which this conversation would not be enhanced by them looking at your beard and looking at my gray hair.
You know, I mean,
that's not going to enhance this conversation at all.
Exactly. And in fact, in some ways, it distracts from it because you're thinking about, oh, look at his gray hair. Look, I didn't know Doug is funny looking guy like that. You know, I thought I didn't know Paul was so charming and handsome here. I can't take my eyes off him, you know, whatever it is. So I think that audio conversations will always be around. I think they serve a different purpose. People listen to them where they can't otherwise do things, and they'll listen longer than they'll watch something.
Tell me a little bit, if you can, a success story of one of your clients or what's involved. You talked about some of the things that has to go into being a host on a show, but how much time does somebody have to put in? What are the reasons that some of the shows fail or people don't keep them up?
You've hit the number one reason that somebody decides not to do this after a while. I can give you 100 good reasons to do this. Other ones we haven't even talked about, including search engine optimization. Did you know that Google gives you brownie points if you put any kind of audio or video on your site? Rich media, they automatically assume you're more interesting than the static site, your competitor's static site. So you move up just by having that. It also creates more links and more. They spend more time on your site watching the video or listening, and you get points for that. All of this helps your search engine optimization grow dramatically as well. Why wouldn't you do it? It's a commitment. It's a conversation. We're going back to the whole problem with social media. Why does Twitter fail? Why does Facebook fail? Why does all this? Because you don't do it very often, and you run out of things to say. So we have had a couple shows that said, I didn't have a guest again this week. And this is the third week in a row. I just got too busy. I didn't get a guest. It goes from being a good thing to a bad thing very quickly. It's like you didn't do your homework. And all of a sudden, oh, my God, this is a pain in the butt here. But if you can hang in there and if you can make the commitment, stay ahead of it. It isn't really hard to get guests. I don't know what your success ratio is, but I had one guy, Jim Obermeyer, from the SLMA, and he was a little skeptical at first. And he said, well, people really want to go on this. You know, how do they know how many people's listening? Maybe it's just the three of us. I'm not sure we'll really get people to participate at the level I want to reach, CEOs of big companies. And after a year of doing this, he called me up and he said, I got to tell you, we do 2 guests a week, 50 weeks a year, so 100 people. He said, I've only ever had 1 out of 100 people we pitched say no.
The difficulty in getting a guest is asking them.
Yeah. I know.
It's simple. They don't say no.
Yeah.
The difficulty is in finding the time, making the commitment to go after them. It's like any other kind of marketing. When we get busy, we typically stop doing our marketing because we're busy with our clients. And so then when that project's over, then we think about doing marketing. And that's why we have these cycles in most of our businesses.
Yeah.
Because we don't keep it up on a regular basis. I've had a very nice summer and have not been working as much the last month and a half. And as a result, my work to get guests has fallen by the wayside. And all of a sudden, this week was really a lot of time devoted to getting back to guests.
Yeah.
And you know what? When I got back to it, it reminded me of how much fun it is to meet new people and talk to them.
Well, and you said something interesting. I don't know if I should share this, but you said, you know, a business coach for how many years? Long time, 10, 15?
Almost 20.
20 years, okay. And like any business coach, I'm sure there are periods of time when you think, okay, I'm going to go out and cold call. I'm just going to call on some businesses. What a painful experience that is. Hi, I want to talk to the owner of the company about being a business coach and coaching their employees. You know, what employees? We fired them all, you know, and click. how do you get through to that person, and how do you do it in a way that's not painful? And you and I talked about once how this is an easy way to get the CEO on the phone. I want to talk to Mrs. Smith. What's this regarding? Have her local radio show. We interview so-and-so people. Love to have them on our show. Oh, okay. And all of a sudden he picks up the phone and you're talking to him. That wasn't tough. And then he says, what's the catch? No catch. I just want to come meet you and work up some questions. Okay. And then you go in and meet this guy, and instead of him looking at his watch and saying, okay, you got 10 minutes and what are you selling here today? All of a sudden he tells everybody, hold the phone. Stop all my calls. I got the radio show guy here. And you're there an hour or two later. And it's like it flips the whole process. He's trying to sell you to get on your show here.
Yeah, I've shared this with Paul before. I'll share it with the audience, is that when I show up at a business because I've got an appointment to interview the CEO for the radio show, to get him ready for the show.
Right.
I walk into the lobby, and there on the board it says, welcome, Doug Gefeller, the yeah. Coaching Perspective.
Yeah, how many times did that happen over the last 20 years?
Right? The other guys sitting in there with their sales cases waiting to see the purchasing agent, their name's not on the board
no.
saying, welcome, Fuller Brush Salesman.
Exactly.
We want to buy from you.
Yeah, okay? Exactly.
Let me tell you. The show is not just for selling. You know, you mentioned it's for learning. Last week, I looked at an email that I got, and this guy was given a seminar on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I need to go to this. And mm-hmm. I went and researched this guy's website, and I thought, man, he's knowledgeable.
Yeah,
I want
right.
to go to this. And so I went to book his seminar on my calendar, and I go, oh, darn, I've got a client meeting then. I can't go to his seminar.
There you go. Right.
So I sent him an email, said, hey, how would you like to be interviewed on the radio show?
And he said, now, no, hell no, I don't want to do that.
He said, yes. He fired back within 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And he's going to be on the show next week. Now, what have I got? One, I didn't have to pay for the seminar.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Two is I would have been one of hundreds in the seminar. I got one-on-one, face-to-face,
yeah.
an hour of
Isn't
his
Isn't that
time.
Amazing? Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's a powerful example. I'll give you some other ones. One that you and I both know. I won't use his name. Another guy that has a show here, when he first did it, I said, who do you want to meet? And he kiddingly said, well, I'd love to meet, I'm a baseball nut, I'd love to meet the president of Angels Baseball, right? But I said, have you ever tried? He said, oh, yeah, I've sent him letters and invitations, you know, but no, I never even get through the secretary. I said, call him up, see if he'll be on your radio show. He said, you're not going to be on my little radio show. I said, try it. Called him up. Hi, I'd like to meet a guy, name happens to be Dennis Cool, who's the president of Angels Baseball.
Right.
And he called him, said, I'd like to talk to Dennis. Yes, what's this regarding? I have a local show. We like to interview top business leaders. We'd love to have him on the show. Within 5 seconds, he's on the phone with Doug or with Dennis Cool. He has since had him on several times. He's come and spoke at his seminars. He wrote an introduction to his book. I mean, he's created a connection out of a conversation that started through this radio medium.
Yeah, it is powerful. Well, look, we've kind of talked about what it's all about. We've talked about the business model. We've kind of defined it. We've heard some success stories about it. We've looked at the way it might be used. Anything else that we've kind of missed here, Paul, that before we wrap up here that you want to share with the audience?
Everybody complains about how do I grow my database? How do I get more prospects? How do I get more leads? How do I get more to meet more people and get more referrals and build my community? This is the most powerful prospecting tool I've ever seen. This is the most powerful community building tool I've ever seen. It's the easiest content building thing I've ever seen. You learn from these people, which then gives you something to tweet about and blog about and post about. It is so darn easy, but it has one thing, and you've talked about this through the years, commitment. You've got to be committed to do this every week. I won't use their name because I don't want to denigrate them, but a guy who was a very well-known sales trainer doing this for a while. And at the end of the day, he stopped doing it after a while. I said, why? I said, you've actually gotten clients out of this avenue? Oh, yeah, and everything like that. I just don't have the time to do it. And I said, well, then you're really saying you don't have the time to prospect. You don't have the time to market. You don't have the time to build your brand. You don't have the time to go out and meet people. You're so darn busy, you're just working. Well, good. I hope it stays that way, because if it ever doesn't, you have no pipeline, no community, no following, no tweeters, anything here. You know, it takes a commitment, and that's hard to justify sometimes. I've been there when you're real busy to say, why am I posting a blog? Why am I tweeting? Why am I putting these pictures on Facebook? I got a client meeting in 20 minutes and I haven't finished the graphic yet. Well, you got to cut out and find time and make a commitment, because you have, and I'll leave by saying this. We had one of the vice presidents of Edelman PR on one of our shows. Edelman is the largest PR firm in the world. Hillary Clinton uses Edelman PR, people like that, Ford Motor Company. And he said this, in this age of the internet, every business, big or small, has the opportunity and the obligation to become their own media company. You have the opportunity to tell your own story and the obligation, because if you don't tell it, nobody will, or somebody else might tell your story in a way you don't like it. On Yelp, you know, get bad reviews. On Twitter, somebody complain about your product or service, other sorts of things. You have the opportunity and the obligation to tell you to become your own media company. You can create your own newspaper and call it a blog. You can create your own TV show and call it a YouTube channel. And yes, now here in Orange County, you can create your own internet radio show.
Paul, thank you very much. Well, let me add one last story on this commitment issue, because commitment sounds like a nasty word.
Oh, it does. It scares people.
It's like, you could say it's the should word. I should do this.
Yeah.
I should. But, you know, think of it as a good habit. Mm-hmm. You know, we all have good habits. We brush our teeth in the morning. We remember to shave. Well, Paul doesn't, but we remember to shave.
I have a beard. Yes.
You know, we have these habits. We shine our shoes, all those kinds of things that are good habits. And the radio show is a good habit. It's like any other habit. You have to do it all the time.
Yeah.
For me, one of the things is that I like lecturing to groups. For 20 years, I had executive groups that I would lecture to or share information with every month. And when I sold that business, I now miss doing that. So the radio show, once a month, I've said I won't have a guest. I will use that show to deliver my information to the audience that I want to do. The other thing that I discovered is that once a month, I know that I am going to spend a day or 2 days writing out 40 minutes worth of material.
Yep.
To get it right, which is now a chapter in a book that I am doing.
Amen.
It's automatically done.
Amen. You're writing your book. No. You're talking through your book here.
I'm talking through my book. And as you know, it's so much easier. I write it out. Then I get on the air. And even if I don't have a guest, all of a sudden I find myself saying things that aren't in my notes.
Mm-hmm.
So then what I do is I hire somebody to take the show and transcribe it, because that's the better copy.
Yeah, right.
Of
right.
What's going on. It has the stories I forgot to write down.
Yeah, the brainstorm. The brain kicks in and you start.
Yeah.
And again, this is a powerful storytelling medium. You can tell your story so easily. If you sit down and you got an audience, you're just spieling out this story. It is like sitting around a campfire. And I find that people find it very relaxing and very appealing. It's appealing to listen to. It's appealing to participate in. Everybody sort of takes a breath, turns off the phone, and says, all right, let's spend 30 minutes together here.
Paul, thank you very much for being with us today. It is an honor to have you have your voice on the show, besides just you doing the mechanical in the back.
And I want to thank you for sticking with this when we were still struggling how to do this and figure it out. You were one of the early pioneers. It speaks a great deal about who you are and how you're still on the cutting edge of technology and new ideas. I'm sure your clients have benefited from this, and I hope that others will learn from your example and make a commitment. And they don't have to hire me or do it here, but find a way to use the internet to start a conversation.
I mean, this conversation could go on forever.
Yeah,
we're
going to
have to end it. But over time, I'm finding more and more I have a coaching conversation with a client, and they will be asking me something, and it may be more of a consulting kind of question,
right?
Which I don't want to get into. I want to coach them.
Right.
And I'm now able to say, you know what? That question about partnership, go back to the radio show. Here's the website. Go back and look. I did a radio show. I had a guest on that we talked about.
And
that.
He had the same problems, the same thing. Yeah, it was interesting. And then they're like, oh, wow, you got a radio show? Oh, wow, you've got some audio content. It's like a little self-help series that you've created here. Yeah, it's a lot of, and we can learn from each other. I think you were one of the people that really opened my eyes, that you and Rick both. There is power in listening to other stories. You can learn from them.
I would hope so. Well, look, thanks a lot, Paul. Thank you, audience, for being with us. Just quickly remind you that, you know, here at the Coaching Perspective, we have been coaching executives and business owners for 19 years. Our purpose is really to create more effective teams. That's our primary focus, and we work with both existing and new management teams and project teams. And in all cases, our goal is to increase the productivity of the team and the individual team members. So if you are in need of coaching, or if you're a coach and you want to talk about business coaching, please contact me. TheCoachingPerspective.com is the website, or Doug@TheCoachingPerspective.com is my email address. So be sure to tune in again. Next week's going to be a great guest. We're live every Thursday, 4 p.m., right here on OCTalkRadio.net. Look for our weekly newsletter on Wednesdays if you want to find out more about our guests. And I hope that today we have given you information and ideas that you can use right now to identify and achieve your goals. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to The Coaching Perspective, the only show that takes a look at business from a slightly different perspective. The Coaching Perspective with Master Certified Coach Doug Gefeller, right here on OCTalkRadio.net.